1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
And good morning, North State. This is Community Radio for the North State, KCNR 1460 AM. And it's Thursday all week. This is Trish Clark, and I'm joined here with Ken Murray.
Good morning, and it's a great day to be living here in the heart of Superior, California. And it's not Thursday on my side of the room.
And we go first, as always, to Wells Fargo Minute with Wells Fargo Advisors.
And Cameron Middleton brings us the Market Minute. Good morning, Cameron.
Good morning. Markets are up this morning following positive sessions in Europe and Asia. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 43 points to 16,882. The NASDAQ at a 14-year high, up 11 to 45,19. And the S&P 500 is up 4 points to 1976. Oil is down 2 cents a barrel to 93.73, while gold is down 19 cents an ounce today to 12.97, and silver is down 2 cents an ounce to 19.61. The 10-year Treasury is yielding 2.37%, and on the earnings front today, Medtronic is up 6 cents to 63.53. TJX is actually up 3.71 to 57.61, and Home Depot up $3.39 a share to 86.98. This has been your market update from Cameron Middleton at the Reading office of Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
And thank you very much, Cameron. And, of course, you can listen for the Wells Fargo Market Minute weekday mornings 7:10, 8:10, and 9:05 here on KCNR. It's brought to you by Wells Fargo Advisors on Park Marina Drive in Reading. Call them at 243-7561. And turning to the weather before we get the show kicked off, sunny and hot today. The high will be near 96. Clear tonight, low in the mid-60s. A little bit cooler tomorrow, the high near 92. Right now in downtown Reading, we are showing 66 degrees. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. They offer senior and veterans discounts. 365-3793. Give them a call at Shasta Gas Propane.
And welcome back. This is Community Radio for the North State. Linda and Carl are cruising in the British Isles and on their way to Normandy. Wonderful trip that they've got planned. Hopefully they're going to be checking in with us and tell us where they are some point along the way, although the time difference always makes that a little challenging when you're in Europe and trying to call into a radio show in the other side of the world.
What's the point of being on a cruise and checking in at work?
Well, that's a good point.
I hope they
to
don't
rub
call.
It in, to rub the salt in our wounds.
Really, I hope they don't call it all.
Well, I mean, that's the point, though. I mean, then they make us all feel bad because they're there and we're here.
That'd be awful arrogant.
Well,
I would feel bad, too. I would much rather be there than here.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, that's a marvelous trip. You know, I was able to do that, not the British Isles cruise, but the trip to Normandy a few years back, and that certainly is a trip to remember.
What do you remember most about it?
Oh, I remember the American cemetery and the German cemetery because there was such a stark difference in my mind of the two. And given my heritage of half-blood, half-French, and half-German.
What's wrong with you?
That's what's right with me, Ken. I mean, I've got all the best parts here. But it was very moving. I think that the whole we had a marvelous guide who took us through all of the areas and loved her story as she related each and every event all the way through it. So it was quite an incredible trip, and I know that they're going to enjoy it.
I've taken several cruises. I love cruising.
I've never been on a cruise.
You never been on a cruise?
I've never been on a cruise.
Oh, you gotta go on a cruise.
I'm thinking not.
Why not?
I like my vagabond motorhoming trips so much.
Are you afraid of the water?
No. I just don't like being confined. And every place
with
I've 5, ever...
With 5,000 close friends.
Yeah, with 5,000 close friends. And I think most people know I don't really like to be kind of guided as to what I should be doing. I like to do what I like to do. And when I see these people get off the cruise trips, when I've been like in Ketchikan or someplace, there's just, you know, the sheep get off and they go through the little shops and then they all go back on the boat and then they take off and go again. And I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people love to cruise, but not my idea of a good time.
It's my idea of a good time, but I don't, you know, I guess the first couple of times I cruised, I was like the sheep, but I found out there's a better way. The better way is don't sign up for any of the side trips. Get off the ship at the dock, wait till everybody's out of the way, then go find some cab driver and hire him for the day. And, say, show me your country or show me your city. Or
Well, yeah. Okay, I see.
Gets to be lunchtime, you know, take me to a... You know, I was in Belize one time on a cruise, and I said to my cab driver, I said, well, where would you normally have lunch? Let's go there. So he took me to some place off in the Tules. I don't know where it was. And it turned out the waitress was his mistress while his wife was at home.
Oh, wait. It wasn't her house, was it?
No, it was a restaurant. It was great food.
Well, and that's how I travel in the motorhome. I mean, I never, everybody says, you know, I go to the big cities, and I don't do that. And every time I stop, then I say to whoever I'm, you know, where I'm parking, so where do you take your friends? What's not on this map in front of us that you regularly go to or would take your friends, or I'm going from here to there? What's the best way to get there with and see interesting things? And I've discovered things that nobody else has ever heard of on that kind of trip, and had marvelous, marvelous trips.
Do you tow your car?
Yes.
Okay, well, that helps.
Oh, sure.
It makes a lot of difference because, you know, when I had a motorhome, all it was a hole in the road I threw money at. It was like when I owned a houseboat at Shasta Lake, just a hole in the water you throw money at.
You have to use it, and you have to, I've been clear across the United States, and I'm getting ready to do that again, and I tow a little Suzuki Samurai behind me so I can take side trips or go here or there, and I haven't found any place yet that I can't turn around a 30-foot motorhome. It's a challenge from time to time, but I've always been able to do it, and I can back it up real well.
I got a news alert I want to talk about.
Okay.
This is, the odds of winning the Mega Million jackpot is 1 in 259 million.
Mm.
You know, I still buy a ticket from time to time, hoping that winning a cash prize would change my life. And actually, the only thing that changes is it changes my dreams. Right?
yeah, exactly. I quit buying lottery tickets. You know, I used to buy a scratch-off from time to time, win $50, win $40. And then I went for a period of like, I don't know, 6 or 7 months where I didn't even hardly get a buck back or a free card. And several years ago, I just finally said, you know, that's kind of stupid. And I haven't done a lottery card since.
Los Angeles city officials are considering turning ballots into lottery tickets. Now,
they already were.
To be honest, the odds are far better. Last year's odds in Los Angeles would have been only 1 in 419,000 instead of 1 in 259 million of winning, because there were only 419,000 votes cast. Even if all 1.8 million registered voters in Los Angeles cast a ballot, you'd still have a better shot at winning. But L.A. isn't the only city. Other cities are thinking about doing this as a way to increase voter turnout. Of course, offering financial incentives to vote won't generate a surge of intelligent voters.
I was going to say, it's a toss up. I constantly am saying we got to get the vote out. And then when I talk to a lot of the people, or you listen when they do these interviews on the street, you have to question the logic of actually getting people to vote. Maybe you just want them to not vote. when they answer the questions. I love the one, the man on the street, when they were talking about Benghazi, and one of the answers said, a college student, getting ready to graduate, and she said, you know, God, I think it's the guy that runs the coffee shop around the corner. And I went, okay, well, maybe we don't want her to vote. I mean, you know what? We've just talked ourselves right into our first break.
Even talking about this seems to, in my mind, insult the memory of those who bled to give us democracy.
You're absolutely right. And the people we're not teaching history, and we're not teaching what this country is about, and that's perhaps why we're where we're at. And with that, we'll go to a break, and we'll be back on the other side with more of Ken and Trish talking about things.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Springwater. Did you know our spring water originates from glaciers high atop Mount Shasta? As they melt, the water flows through miles of volcanic rock to our springs at the base of the mountain. Pure and natural, Mount Shasta Springwater is naturally the best and the official water of the United States of America. Give us a call today and ask about our special introductory offer. 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. I highly recommend it.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Reading, California.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
This portion of Free Fire Radio, brought to you by Orchard Nutrition, the North State's nutrition experts, with the largest selection of natural foods and supplements in Northern California. They got an in-store deli, 4 nutritionists on staff to assist you, classes on health and diet, and raw and organic food. Just some of the reasons to shop see what I said? Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Give them a call at 244-9141. Orchard Nutrition, your center for a healthy lifestyle.
And welcome back. This is Trish Clark, and it's Tuesday morning. It's about 65 degrees and down.
Common core principles, learning principles. How did it get to be such a topic of debate all of a sudden? I don't even understand that.
Well, okay, so let's first off do what every good conservative Republican should do, and I'm not going to jump right in and argue the point you've established. Okay,
well, I just told you the history of it, and
so my point is, everybody starts arguing about the education system without first laying the platform that the first main big problem with that whole theory and everything is that the federal government shouldn't be involved in education at all.
Okay, but that doesn't have anything to do with the
subject. Well, it doesn't have to do with Common Core, but there's where the whole thing falls apart and why it can't work. Because if we put education back to the communities where they belong, then we would have educated people and we'd have enough money to educate our children. Having said that, I think what the principle that he came up with, that certainly makes sense. But if you look at the basics of Common Core, we're not teaching any of the above. We're not even teaching cursive in our schools.
Teaching what?
Cursive. How to write. We're not teaching our students anymore how to use penmanship. We're not basically teaching math. The whole theory is thinking. They're teaching thinking. And so if you can think and if you can use computers and if you can use the system as it's put out, you don't really need to memorize anything anymore, like the times tables. You don't really need to memorize any documents or anything. I'm not speaking specific to Common Core. I'm speaking more to the education system and what we're not teaching our children and why the whole thing falls apart. They can't compete with the students coming from overseas because we're not teaching our kids anything.
Which is the whole point of Common Core.
But it doesn't solve anything. When you look at the curriculum for Common Core, it throws out everything we've been teaching as far as history, geography, the common basic math and all those things, and comes up with a set of tests.
So the argument against Common Core...
For me.
For you. Is not the concept, not the values that were hoped for...
In the beginning, but they've lost.
In the beginning. But it's the practical application.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I'm somewhere between a conservative and not as conservative as other people. I'm a pragmatic conservative. And, my first step when I become president of the United States will be to abolish the Department of Education and take their billions of dollars and divide it by the number of school teachers in the United States and give them all a raise. It's a crime in our society, in my opinion, that cops have a beginning wage of twice what a teacher does, or firemen have twice the beginning wage of a teacher. I mean, look back 100 years, and the most respected person in town was the teacher.
Exactly. Who taught out of the Bible.
Who taught out of the Bible and other great literature.
Exactly.
And had discipline in the classroom. And
had one teacher beloved for 50 kids.
Beloved by the community. And what do we have now? We have a public safety officer starting wage of $56,000 or $60,000 a year and a teacher starting wage $32,000 a year. How does that make any sense?
It doesn't make any sense, and you've said exactly what I said to begin with, and that is get the federal government out of education, put it back to people who know how to teach, take all that money and put it back into the education system, i.e. pay the teachers to teach our children. And go back to using all of the great literature that we've got. We don't even teach basic the math. It doesn't really matter if Johnny gets the right answer. It only matters if Johnny was trying and if he used good theories to get there. Because he can look up the answer on the internet. He doesn't need to know the answer. And that's a bad theory.
But that's part of what Common Core, the concept, was to address. that we're teaching the same things nationwide because we're one as a nation.
But then maybe we need to take a better look at the top at what it is they're teaching, because if you look at what the curriculum is, as I have, and I haven't gone into it in depth, I'm not in the teaching industry, but I have talked to some of the teachers and I've looked at some of the material, and it's not something I want my kids learning.
Fine. Simply fine. Okay.
All right. So?
That was one of my subjects.
Okay.
Do you really want to get into my other one now?
Absolutely. Go for it.
What is it with Patrick Henry Jones? Another article where he comes off looking like an idiot this morning. This sales tax that's going on the ballot.
Yes.
Patrick's mantra, and he's quoted in the newspaper for about the fourth time, is, quote, "Before we go to the taxpayers and ask them for more revenue, at least we should look at our budget and go through it from top to bottom. Our failure to do so leads me to believe that we shouldn't ask for more money," end quote. Patrick, every 2 years, and you've been there almost eight, the city council goes through the budget line item by line item by line item with hundreds of pages of documentation and looks for every dime they can find. And that process always includes Patrick. What's his problem? Can he read?
Oh, wow. Now, where to begin? Where to begin? First off, the statement that he made, I see absolutely nothing wrong with it.
There's something wrong with it because he's already gone through it line by line, and all of the counselors have, and now he says, well, we ought to look again.
Well, but unless we're going back, in my mind, with any government agency, and I've not done the City of Reading's budget, but I certainly have been through the City of Anderson's budget and spent 16 years going through the county budget, and I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is money in there for items that we no longer even use. There is money in there for positions that are no longer there. Unless we go back in all of these agencies from the dog catcher right up to the federal government with zero-based budgeting, and that is go back and rebuild each one of these budgets from the ground up, we have no clue. Why can the city council or the city manager or the county administrative officer always come up with some money from some place that we didn't really know was there?
Okay, Trish, maybe you have the same problem Patrick does. I went through the budget when I was on the council.
I did as well, and I can read. And I found money that they couldn't, that they said, oh, no, that's not really there, blah, 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 blah.
When you found money, what did you do?
Well, you will I probably not remember, but the first year that Maurice and I were on there, we completely hacked that budget, came up with all kinds of money. My point is, though, I can't argue if in fact he thinks there's money there, he should point it out. But him saying that we ought to examine it before we have a new tax, I don't think taxes are the answer.
If he thought the money was there, why'd he lay off the cops in the first place?
Did he vote for that, or did it go with a 4-1 vote?
No, he voted for it, okay? The entire council voted to eliminate positions, all of the public, what do you call them, the non-sworn?
Yes.
Community service officers. They voted to get rid of that. Why? Because they went through the budget line by line and couldn't find the money to keep them going, and things were going bad at the city of Reading. And I'm telling you that there isn't anything in there that every council person hasn't questioned at some point or another, because it's been wrenching to lose the employees that have been lost. Now, maybe some of that was fat.
Okay? And maybe you need to prioritize then as opposed to eliminate or find new funds. Maybe you need to find things in your budget you don't need to do.
Nonetheless, for him to say that before we ask the taxpayers for more revenue, at least we should look at our budget and go through it from top to bottom. Our failure to do so? Who's failing to do so? Him?
Well, you say they've all done it.
They have done it, except him, apparently. And that's my point.
Well, okay, but we could agree to disagree about that, because I'm not inclined to think that giving government at any level any more money is going to solve any of our problems. I think that we as a people need to go back to the things that government should do and give up the things they shouldn't, and that's how we create more revenue.
And frankly, I don't disagree with that. But making the assumption that government is, local government especially, is fat because of hidden pockets of money is destructive of our trust in government and destructive of our government. We have to trust our elected people to be doing the right thing. And frankly, I do.
And with that, we'll take a break.
It's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear you. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Bark and wine.
Don't forget brew.
Yes, brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with sit-down dinner, live and silent auction, and basket drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Every week I get patients that say, Doc, I can't live with this foot and leg pain. Raymond Miner is a classic example. He lives in Alturas. He was in serious trouble. His feet and hands were burning at night, making sleep almost impossible. His balance was affected, and now he was using a walker. We introduced Raymond to a new form of treatment called analgesic stim. Used successfully in Europe for over 20 years, available only at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Within a few treatments, Raymond began to feel better and threw away his walker. If you're suffering from pain, tingling, numbness, or stabbing pain in your hands or feet caused by peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point quality assessment to see if you are a candidate for this new life-saving treatment. In Reading, call 530-302-3555.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And this portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Lighting and his team of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. Register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822.
Welcome back. This is Ken Murray and Trish Clark. We're filling in for the bots who are sailing the high seas someplace. I wanted to let you know that the chat room is down right now. We're having computer problems. We're trying to get through, but the phone is open. The number is 605-4567. 605-4567 if you want to be part of the conversation this morning. And now I'm going to climb up on my...
you've lit the phones, Ken.
You forgot my name, didn't you?
Well, no, I'm...
forgot what he was going to call you because you've left the phones. He was trying to clean it up.
You have, in fact, lit the phones up. If you want to take the first... You want to take a couple quick calls before we deal with our guests here. Roberta, you're on line one. Welcome to KCNR 1460.
Well, good morning, all.
Hi, good morning, Roberta.
I just think it's really sad when people use derogatory... name calling when they are trying to get their opinions across. And I'm referring to the comment that Ken made about Patrick Jones and called him an idiot. And I'm sorry.
I didn't think I used the word idiot.
Well, you certainly did.
Did I?
And
if he hasn't read the budget in the last 8 years, then he's an idiot.
Well, he isn't saying, I didn't take it that way, Ken.
Well, where is the money?
I took what he is saying is they need to relook at it.
They look at it every 2 years. They look at it every 2 years, Roberta. Every 2 years he looks at it, every line item.
Ken, times have changed. I'm sure that when it came to putting in some of the beautification in the city that they did back a few years, they wouldn't be doing now because we're in a different climate. So anyway, that's my comment.
Thank you for your comment, Roberta. And we have
good work, Trish.
Hey, Roberta.
Yes.
I still like you.
Oh well, I still like you, Ken. Yeah. Absolutely.
You can agree to disagree about some issues.
But you know what? Hey, come on, guys. You're really smart. You're really intelligent. So let's come across that way. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, who else we got, Bob?
And we have BC on line two. BC, welcome to the program. Go.
Well, we've got a question for Mr. Ken Burry. He wants to ban around and bash Patrick Jones. For his thoughts and ideas, what about back when Mr. Ken Burry gave $1 million bonus, i.e. $40,000 bonus to then Michael Warren? I don't think that was a really good use of city money because they knew he was going to retire. And then Mr. Murray took a nice little trip to China. It was a good deal when you're in that placido there when you could do all your own things. But all of a sudden, it's different when you're standing on the outside looking in. But I think you're not a good representative and never did have Redding's best interests in mind.
Thanks.
There you go, buddy, Ken. Good old buddy.
Appreciate your call.
And thank you, BC.
Okay, well, now we're going to go and we're going to talk.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you want to respond?
Well, I mean, some of the things he's saying are incorrect, but okay. It doesn't particularly matter. What I ask you to wait for is I want to get up on top of the stool.
Oh.
Because there's a caged animal in the room, and I'm afraid of caged animals left out of the cage.
Okay, but he is still in the cage. And we're joined now, right now, with Christy, the marketing and PR manager from Turtle Bay, and Sharon, who is the curator of the animal programs. And they have brought the cutest little bobcat that you've ever seen in your life. I wish you could see what we're looking at.
It's a mountain lion.
You can
lion.
Get off the stool.
It's a Kat, mountain
he's a
lion.
Baby. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. How are you today? It's a beautiful morning to have a bobcat in the studio, don't you think?
I think it is. And is he just a little cutie?
She is. She is actually almost 4 months old now. And she has been with us since she was 5 weeks old. She was actually found stuck in an oil rigger in Kansas. And the workers saved her, put her back out in the woods, thought mom would come back. And she's now going to make a mess of your office, of your studio.
This is when I wish we had a camera.
The workers put her back out thinking mom would come back. And the next day she was back stuck in the oil rigger. So they realized mom wasn't coming back. She was orphaned. She was only about 3 weeks old. She was itty bitty. And Kansas Department of Wildlife regulations somehow are to euthanize any of these guys. So a local zoo said that they didn't think that should happen and that they would find an educational home for her to spend her life. And they put it out on the facility listservs, and we answered and said that Turtle Bay and Redding would love to have her. So here she is.
Why do I think we're about to have a Johnny
Wait a minute, where
Carson
is she?
Here?
Wait a minute, she's gone. She's escaped.
she's up on the tour with Ken. she pretty much thinks she rules the world.
Okay, so Sharon, this is new to me. I honestly have to tell you that I wasn't aware that you had baby animals over there. So tell me about that program. You have more than one?
Oh, we have lots of animals of Turtle Bay. If you have not been down to Turtle Bay to see our animals, you have been missing out. Over the last seven, they've always had animals there. Carter House is what started with the animals at Turtle Bay. So when Carter House became part of Turtle Bay, their animals moved over. But at that time, when I started 7 years ago, it was a very small collection. And we have been expanding. And we now have our new wildlife woods. And so we have two foxes. We have a raccoon. We have a golden eagle. We have all kinds of animals. We have a badger, and all of them are trained. So we do a wildlife show. It is still going until Labor Day this year. It's called Walk on the Wild Side. It's every day but Mondays. And it's super fun. We train all the animals to do their natural behaviors, and then they do them on stage, choreographed to music, and people get to learn and have fun and see these animals up close. So there's over 100 animals at Turtle Bay.
Oh, wow. So and that's grown considerably in the last 7 years.
In the last 7 years, yes.
Exactly, because the last time I was over there and actually went through and did the whole thing, I've been over for events, but not to go through the facility.
Now, some of those groups, I mean, we do have 36 parrots in one big area, so it's not like 100 different exhibits, but there's quite a few animals there.
I'm trying to get my brain wrapped around a statement you just made. You train your animals to do their natural behavior?
I know. Isn't that a great comment? I'm glad you caught that. Actually, it's exactly right, because what happens is, hang on, I got to catch a bobcat.
Keep it away from me.
I would point out that I wish that we had an in-camera in-studio camera, because this wild animal is
all over the place.
This chaos is ensuing here.
This predator in training first of all, wrapped herself around Trisha's legs and is currently climbing up some of the places where we keep paperwork and things, and I'll probably be days in this aftermath. I would put the young one's weight here to what, about 10, 15 pounds?
Oh, not yet. She actually doesn't even weigh 8 pounds yet. She was 7.7 pounds yesterday.
She's big.
It's all teeth.
Yeah.
It's all teeth. And long legs and a big head. And so she's
going to grow into those things.
She is going to grow into those things.
But the tail, what there is of it, is going like mad, and we are playing with a lure, with a ball on a stick, and we're just
being playing with Trisha's foot. Is what we're playing with.
Well, we're just curious about everything.
She is, and like you said, everything at this age is all practice for hunting. So
yes,
not hunting me, I hope.
So anyway, everything she does is practice for hunting at this point. Everyone says, you know, wow, she's very cat-like, like someone just mentioned in here. We actually say it the other way around. It's amazing how much your cat is still like a wild cat.
Okay.
Because these guys came first, and then we domesticated them to become cats, our domestic cats, house cats. And it's amazing how much they have retained these natural wild behaviors. And that is always, especially seeing her.
You really, the live studio is going to be great when and if it's ever up running.
I just foresee a lot of Carson moments.
I think so, because we've had a couple here this morning that are really, this is great.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. So back to your comment about the trained natural behaviors. You know, how often, if I were to bring you to a zoo or anywhere and you saw a fox, how often would you actually get to see it do the pouncing behavior into the snow where they pull up a mouse that you see on the National Geographics? You don't get to see those. They're natural behaviors, but you don't ever get to see them. So we train those behaviors on cue. So when we ask for that natural behavior, they'll do it, and then people get to see those behaviors they don't normally see. And that's what's really fun about it. So you're not going to see a bear riding a bicycle or a parrot playing basketball hoops. You know what I mean? That's not natural. But you will see our fox leaping straight into the air the way they would catch a bird out of the air, or, you know, stuff like that. So all of our behaviors, we have a raccoon that, you know, fishes out an item out of a big bowl of water, you know, to show how they would hunt and find things in water and use their hands. And so that's what we mean when we say train natural behaviors. We're actually training those natural behaviors on cue when we want them, so that people can learn and actually experience them.
Okay, so you have a baby beaver over there now, so we're gonna. I can. I can see it all now. You're going to get this beaver out on the stage that's going to look around and see all those people and slap its tail on the stage and say, danger, let me out of here.
Well, you know, that's another good point. So part of the idea here is to raise them in a way that they are really comfortable being around people so they can be good education animals. So that's why they're with us a lot, with the trainers all the time, so they don't do that. Like you just said, that slapping behavior, we don't ever want you to see that slapping behavior. That means that they're really scared. Unless we train it in a safe way where they move their tail and we can train it where it doesn't mean that to the animal anymore, but you get to see the behavior. But we'll probably train them to, you know, do things underwater and train them in the tank.
Sharon, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back in a few seconds.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the question.
With customized menus to fit your budget, and they have the best Bloody Mary in town. Find Lulu's Eating and Drinking Establishment on Pine Street, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at WallnerPlumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
7:49, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading, 222-2750. Four Winds Jewelry is a full-service jewelry store providing the finest selection of jewelry in Northern California. Proud sponsor of Free Fire Radio, Four Winds Jewelry.
Okay, this is Trish Clark, and we welcome you back for Community Radio. Remind you that the phone number is 605-4567. We have been having a little bit of trouble with the chat room. Are we back online with the chat room?
Looks like the computer is coming back up. I'll be reopening the chat room. The stream has dropped a couple of times, and we got a comment from the radio station next door. They're also having computer issues, so looks like it was a little charter thing, and hopefully we're coming back up now.
Okay, and if the chat room does open up, you can jump in there at kcnr1460.com.
Yeah, and feel free to take me apart. It's okay. I mean,
he's got broad shoulders. What do you think he started that conversation for? Yeah. He loves to get that phone ringing. I mean, for heaven's sakes.
The point of talk radio is talking.
Exactly.
So call in and say whatever you need to say. Nobody cares.
There you go. Okay. So
we encourage it.
We absolutely encourage it. That's why we keep giving you the phone number, 605-4567.
In fact, Trish and I talked before the program started. They said, we got to do something to make the phone rings. It's working.
Exactly. I mean, that's the point. Just wait till you see what we've got for you the rest of the week. By the way,
in the next hour, we have Silas Lyons from the Record Searchlight coming on.
Exactly. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that one. And we are joined this morning, and we've got guests in the studio, three guests, actually. We have Sharon, who is the animal curator, and we have Christy, who is the marketing PR person, and we have Whispers,
yes,
who is a 3-month-old
Almost 4 month old bobcat kitten from Turtle Bay.
Okay, so no, so when Whisper grows up, how long does he stay with you?
Whisper will be at Turtle Bay for the rest of her life. So Turtle Bay is not a a rehab facility for animals. That's Shasta Wildlife down in
Absolutely,
Anderson.
Yeah.
And so we actually are like the home for animals once they decide that they're no longer releasable. So all the animals we have can no longer survive on their own in the wild.
And so they're going to stay here a while and go someplace else. They're going to stay here.
They will be here for the rest of their lives as long as we can take care of them, as long as we continue to be financially sustainable and can care for all of our animals and provide these incredible programs, hence we all know what that leads to.
And right. That's, and that's a whole nother conversation.
That's another whole thing.
Okay, we want to go there. Okay.
Yeah, let's lead into that. I'm stuck on
here to talk about animals.
I am too. I want to talk about this beaver. Okay. You got this beaver.
Okay.
And you have that forest over there.
Yes.
And it needs to be thinned. Why don't you train that beaver?
There are plenty of beavers in this area. There's lots
they are
of
that
them.
Are not that are not under the yes. control of Turtle Bay. That's for sure. Just ask anybody that lives
right.
on a big ditch or a waterway around the Sacramento River system and ask them about how they feel about the beavers
That's
that
right.
do their work.
Well, go get a pine tree and put it in a pot on the stage and let's That's see what, the beaver go chew
and
the
we
tree
actually
down.
Are going to do something like that. We will be able to train them to chew on cue, and we'll put saplings out and let people see how they chew them down and watch them at work. Because again, just like we're talking about those natural behaviors, how often do you actually watch a beaver cutting down a tree? You just see the aftermath afterwards. So that's kind of why we're here. We love to educate people. We have programs with our animals year round. So all different programs. You can come back to Turtle Bay over and over and see different things about the animals. So of course they're out on exhibiting, you know, all their required things. And at the end of the year, they usually have time. But we're now trying to create a lot of programs this year that allow for schools to have reasons
really
to come.
Active bobcat.
I know. To have reasons to come to Turtle Bay year round. So school trips are only $5 for the kids to come instead of the normal $12. So it's very reduced for the school kids. And then on top of that, if they want to get special programming, it's just an additional dollar a kid. So student. So the parents are free. The chaperones are free. So you're just paying for that little bit. Extremely affordable. And we have everything from forestry programming, animal programming, cultural programming, art programmings, all kinds of stuff.
How many school children?
We have a little turtle pond. People can come learn about our local turtle. So we have a little of everything. Of course, in the spring and the beginning of the summer, we have our butterfly house. When we can get enough donations to open it, it's very expensive to run. We have our walkthrough parrot playhouse now. So and that's now free. Turtle Bay's changed. We've changed our fee structure now. So it's all inclusive. Before, it used to come to Turtle Bay, and then there were certain things to do that cost extra money. But we really like to listen to the people of Reading and our guests and our supporters, and they said, we really don't want to be nickel and dimed. We want to be pay a price and be done with it. So actually, we now have a single price for people to come in, and it includes everything in the park. Where before, you might pay $14 to get in and then add all the things up, it would come to $18 or $20 a person. Now it's $16, and it includes everything. So now you can come into the Parrot Playhouse and interact with them regardless. We also have special nickel and dime days so that people can the nickel and dime days, they are only $5 and $10 for those days for adults and children.
Well, you can buy a membership, and it's a lot cheaper.
And then that's the best. Like, thank you. That was perfect. Memberships are really the best way to go. If you live in Shasta County, you should have a membership at Turtle Bay. That's how we feel.
And if you have a membership, can you bring other people in with you? How does
yes.
that work?
So depending on which membership you have, but you can always bring some. If you have an individual membership, you can always bring one free guest with you. If you have a family membership, you can bring two guests with you. Oh, no, one guest with you. Okay. And then if you have a family membership, it's two adults and up to four children, and they don't have to be named. So if you have two children, you can bring two children and two of their friends. So it's two adults and four children. And then with that, all of your additional guests, so let's say you come and you want to bring extras, they're all half price.
Okay.
So it's incredible.
I know a lot of grandparents have, you know, the kids and the families that come and visit.
That's right.
And for just them, it seems, do I need a family membership? You know, just because my kids there aren't there all the time.
How much is a membership?
A membership, for a family membership, is only $80 for the whole year. So if you're going to come to Turtle Bay, even twice, it's worth the membership.
We, I, you know, we're about out of time in this segment, but I do want to make an observation. She's got this wild animal in here out of its cage. So far, it's been on every wall, every tabletop. It's jumped up to the window. The only place it hasn't been is on the ceiling, and I know it's looking for red meat.
And Ken is still on the stool. I mean, bear in mind, he has not been interacting with this thing. He's still on the stool. And that's the only place the cat hasn't been. Thanks so much, Sharon. And we're coming back after the break in the next hour with Silas
Lyons
from the Record Searchlight. Ken, I'm in trouble already.
And Ken has his flame-proof armor on, right?
We'll see you on the other side.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The National Guard continues to remain at arm's length from protest areas in Ferguson, Missouri, while clashes continue between demonstrators and police. Missouri State Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson says he's, in fact, proud of the way authorities handled themselves and restrained themselves last night as they came under fire.
Not a single bullet fired by officers, despite coming under heavy attack. Four St. Louis County police officers were hit by rocks and bottles and sustained injury.
And Johnson scolded members of the news media for skewing their coverage of what's really going on the streets of Ferguson.
Please don't interfere with officers, and let's give attention to the peaceful, not to those determined to disrupt and call attention to themselves. Let's not glamorize the acts of criminals.
Police say at least two people were shot last night. They say some people in the crowd lobbed Molotov cocktails. A local official and a resident say clashes broke out between Iraqi security forces and militants on the outskirts of Tikrit. Shashank's Josie of the Royal United Services Institute tells Britain Sky News the U.S. has been judicious in its use of airstrikes.
They've proceeded extremely slowly. In fact, if you look at the pace of airstrikes since about the 8th of August when they began, it's been under 7 airstrikes a day. If you compare that to, you know, military campaigns in, say, Libya 3 years ago, that's a very stately pace of airstrikes.
The Islamic State group and other militants occupied Tikrit and the northern city of Mosul in early June. Former NFL player, the Bob the Beast Sapp, will be topping the bill at a martial arts extravaganza in North Korea later this month.
This is the number one unusual and a little bit crazy. Why? Because this is a place that, you know, I've only heard about.
On Wall Street, the Dow right now up about 70 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
At Mathnasium Learning Centers, we make math make sense to kids. Your child will leap ahead, whether starting out way behind or already ahead. It's how we've grown to more than 500 franchise locations, now enrolling for summer and year-round. Call now for a free parent pack, 844-799-1999, 844-799-1999. Learn what Mathnasium can do for your child, 844-799-1999.
Alaska holds its GOP Senate primary today, and one of the candidates has picked up a unique endorsement, as Linda Kenyon explains.
Former astronaut Buzz Aldrin gave an 11th-hour endorsement to Alaska Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell. Aldrin, who was the second man to walk on the moon, says he's known Treadwell for nearly 30 years and has worked with him at NASA. He praises Treadwell for being a champion of science, technology, and exploration. He also says he believes Treadwell will push for Arctic exploration, which he hopes will lead to energy jobs. Polls ahead of the primary show Treadwell running behind fellow Republicans Dan Sullivan and Joe Miller. Linda Kenyon, SRN News.
Thousands of small but intense earthquakes are rattling Iceland today, raising concerns that one of the country's volcanoes may be about to blow its stack. Iceland has raised its aviation alert level for the risk of a possible volcanic eruption to orange. That's the second most severe. 4 years ago, ash clouds from an Icelandic volcano forced a cancellation of more than 100,000 flights. This is SRN News. Republican Texas Governor Rick Perry fighting a criminal indictment with a team of high-powered attorneys. Attorney Tony Busby, meanwhile, says nothing had happened to Governor Perry when he's formally charged with abuse of power will be kept secret.
There will, of course, be a summons, and there will, of course, be a point where Governor Perry will have to appear.
Critics of the indictment suggesting it's nothing more than a political attack designed to taint Perry as he considers a 2016 presidential run. Unemployment rates rose in 30 U.S. states last month.
The trends reflect an increase in job hunters nationwide as an improving economy has encouraged more people to seek work. The Labor Department says unemployment rates fell in 8 states in July and were unchanged in 12. At the same time, hiring rose in 36 states, fell in 13, and was unchanged in Iowa.
That's SRN's Rich Thomason reporting. Right now on Wall Street, the Dow's up 68 points. More details at SRNnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And welcome to Free Fire Radio. This is your community radio station. This is Trish Clark co-hosting with Ken Murray this week.
Who gets to say whatever he wants.
Absolutely. At any time, we remind you to jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. Ken is still upright and standing, so you can take a few more shots at him from the last hour if you'd like. And if not, he'll probably come up with another subject.
Wild animals are out of the studio, and I have my feet back on the floor.
And there you go. And we're going to jump right now to Cameron at Wells Fargo Advisors.
Thank you, Trish. Good morning. Markets are up this morning on positive inflation and housing numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 65 points to 16,904. The NASDAQ is up close to a 14-year high, up 8 points to 45.16, and the S&P 500 is up 6 points to 1978. Oil down 42 cents a barrel to 93.33, and gold is down $1.75 an ounce to 12.95, while silver is down 20 cents an ounce to 19.43. The 10-year Treasury is yielding 2.39%, and our most active stocks today are Bank of America, up 11 cents to 15.56, JCPenney's up 38 cents to 10.25, and Sprint down 23 cents today to $5.39 a share. This has been your market update from Cameron Middleton at the Reading office of Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
And thank you very much, Cameron. And listen, of course, for the Wells Fargo Market Minute weekday mornings here at 7:10, 8:10, and 9:05 on KCNR. Brought to you by Wells Fargo Advisors on Park Marina Drive in Reading. Give them a call at 243-7561. It is 64 degrees in Reading right now. Sunny and hot, a high near 96. Light and variable winds, mostly clear this evening, the low in the mid-60s. Sunny tomorrow, a little bit cooler. The high will be around 92. Still extremely high fire danger, so please be careful of that. Once again, 65 degrees in Reading, and the report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends, 365-3793. Give them a call at Shasta Gas Propane.
And we're back.
We're back. Without wild animals.
And without our special guest, Silas Lyon from the Record Searchlight.
Apparently he overslept this morning. I have a question for you.
Okay. Oh, we'll see if I have an answer.
Do you ever get depressed?
Not really. Not in years.
What do you do when you get depressed? How do you get out of it? And I'll tell you why I'm asking. There's been a great deal of debate nationally and in scientific journals that we're depressed as a nation. We're depressed. And I was thinking about that. What do you do when you're depressed? I mean, there's a lot of reasons for me to be depressed about the U.S. of A.
Oh, I think so.
But I'm trying to think back to what the origin of that depression was. I mean, I wasn't I mean, when I was younger, I wasn't depressed. Now, if I get, for example, if I get depressed at work, okay, or the first thing I do is I wallow in it for two or three days, right? And then I'll go in on a Saturday and clean my desk. I'll take everything off the top of my desk. I'll wash the top of the desk, and then I'll pick up each paper, one piece of paper at a time, and look at it, either throw it away or put it in a meaningful pile that I have to do something about. And that gets me out of my depression. At home, if I get depressed, I'll go out and clean my garage, okay? And I'll take everything and pile it in the middle of the floor, clean everything up, and then put stuff back that I really need where it belongs. And it, you know, first phase is I wallow in it. Then it's time to do something, take some action. If we're truly depressed as a nation, what do we do? I mean, it's easy to say, well, throw the jerks out, all the people in office. But I'm not sure that's the answer to anything. I mean, there's a lot of them that deserve to be thrown out. But where did the depression originate, and how do we get our way out of it as a community, as a state, as a nation?
I do have an observation, Ken. I think that we are suffering from what Marshall McLuhan warned about back in the 1970s. We are information saturated, and we have become information junkies. And any junkie goes through a period of depression. I don't see a way out of it, because it means setting back. Along with all the good stuff comes the bad stuff. So how do you make that difference? But that's the observation I'm making, is that we are under information deluged and we're numb.
Well, but I think I would just only say that information deluge, I think we're misinformation. And I think that's what's got us absolutely to, we so much of the information that we get is not factual.
Well, I think under deluge, I'm including things like, who cares about America? You know, Dancing with the Stars, American Idol, reality TV, the magazines on the rack. We're buried.
Well, you can go back even further. 1954, Toffler wrote a book called Future Shock.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rate at which information is expanding exceeds our capacity to assimilate it. And so we cherry pick what information we pay some attention to.
We choose to look at the talking heads and get their impression of the news of the day, and without ever doing any actual research on our own.
And without doing any critical thinking. But rather than focus on that, I want to know what we do to get out of this depression.
Well, and let me, okay, so you started this by asking me, did I get depressed? And rarely, because I choose not to focus on those things that I've got a real strong ability to recognize when I'm starting to do that. I kind of live my life avoiding depression. And I do that by, at this stage in my life, surrounding myself with people who make me laugh, who make me feel good, who are positive thinkers. And I cut loose the people who don't, because they bring you down. When you surround yourself with people who have constantly got their hand to their brow and woe is me, absolutely there are things every day in this world, and because I am a very political person, I could get into an absolute state of depression in a heartbeat, without even thinking about it. Having said that, I do exactly what, and I do a lot of the same thing you do. I find that when I am getting, feeling badly, I first off start reminding myself all of the things that I have in my life that I really need to feel really good about. And then I clean something. I clean the garden shed, or I clean the garage, or I do the desk thing. But I have a little different thing with the desk. When I go in there and I start at the top, the deal is you either take care of it or throw it in the garbage, because it's been there a while, and putting it in another stack is not going to be productive.
Okay, so what do we do about it nationally to get out of our national depression?
I think we have to go back to the basics, and I think that we have to go back to our children. We have to start reinstating in them. We got a whole section of the American public out there who does not think they are responsible for anything other than getting in, out of bed in the morning and not necessarily getting dressed and being a part of it. Mm-hmm. We have to re-educate that population. We have to start with the babies, start teaching them that if, in fact, they want to be a part of society, it takes responsibility and input from them.
If
and we got to do that back in our schools.
Slide the word in edgewise. We have calls holding. Do you want to wait, hold them over the break?
No, let's go to a call.
Okay, Dolores on line one, and welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. I was calling to basically make a comment regarding Ken making a comment regarding Patrick Jones, calling him an idiot. I think that's uncalled for because Patrick Jones is a great council member. He seems to stand up for the people, and he does defend the people. And even though he stands alone, he is for the people. For you to call him that name, I think that's wrong. And the only idiot I know is you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dolores Lucero.
And that's as short as we've ever heard Dolores be in her whole life.
We have moving right along.
We're going to go to Billy Bob on the phone.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Ken, I got a question for you.
Sure.
And I've missed your radio voice over the years. But anyway, being a real estate expert and in this area for as many years, what is the city of Reading going to do in the state of affairs that we face now? What are we going to do with Stillwater? That is the elephant in the room, and I want your opinion. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Billy Bob.
I think what we're going to do with Stillwater is continue to market it, and sooner or later somebody's going to buy a lot out there. And once somebody buys the first lot and builds the first building, hopefully there will be others motivated to do likewise. It may work. It may not work. Stillwater Business Park was an idea promulgated by former council member...
Pat Kite.
Pat Kite,
right.
Yes.
And it started when I was not in office, although I did vote for the funding for it later, a couple of years later after it was started. It was the best response the council could come up with at that time to create jobs, rightly or wrongly, whether either it works or it doesn't work. It so far hasn't worked. But the idea was sprang from this fact that everybody who ever runs for office says, we got to create jobs, but they never do anything to create jobs. And so at least Pat Kite did something. Whether it works or not, is yet to be determined. So far, it hasn't worked. However, he actually did something.
I just can't let that lie, because that's part of the problem. Government was never created to be all things to all people, nor should it be. And what the elected people from the state or from the city right up to the federal government ought to be doing is creating an atmosphere that enables and encourages private enterprise to create jobs. We should not be electing people to office who think they are going to create jobs, because that's not their job.
And when's the last time you heard a politician say, I'm not going to create jobs? They all say they're going to create
jobs. That's not true, because every time I ran for office and people would ask me the question, what are you going to do to create jobs? My answer was exactly what I just told you.
I'm going to get government off your back.
I am going to strive to create an atmosphere where we are open for business and helping you, the private population, create the jobs. And we need to go to a break, and then we're going to welcome Silas Lyons from the Record Searchlight.
Wait a minute. While we're on a break, I want to think through all your striving if it ever created one job. We'll be right back.
And it did.
Is there anything better than an authentic San Francisco-style deli sandwich? Well, if you live in Reading, but your heart's in the city by the bay, San Francisco Deli has got what you're craving. Try the North Beach, hot Italian sausage with Parmesan and marinara on a fresh-baked sourdough roll. Or how about the famous Mamma Mia with salami, mortadella, capricola, provolone, and all the good veggies? San Francisco Deli's been serving Redding since 1977. And whether it's the Giants or the Colt 45s, the folks at San Francisco Deli love supporting their baseball. Head on in, 2395 Athens Avenue, San Francisco Deli.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Redding Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent and Luigi here, telling everyone about Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary Sonoma Getaway Giveaway.
What's the getaway?
Visit Mary's before August 25th and enter to win one of our weekly prize packs.
With the $55 gift certificate.
Or the grand prize of a weekend for four in Sonoma at the Fairmont Sonoma Mission Inn.
What was it like back in the day?
Mary made her homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with her secret family recipes.
So good.
Mary was one of the nicest people you ever met. Sounds like Nani, what about the meatballs? Were they as big as my head? Luigi, nobody can see how big your head is on the radio.
Oh!
Stop by your favorite shack to enter Mary's 55th anniversary Sonoma Getaway Giveaway. And thank you to all of our customers over the years.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Redding and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
No purchase necessary to win. For complete rules and alternate form of entry, visit maryspizzashack.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
K20 and this portion of the program is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all makes and models of heating and cooling systems, warranties, guarantees, and 7 days a week, 24 hours service. Alliance Heating and Air, call 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org.
It is 65 degrees in downtown Reading, and we are now joined. Hi, this is Trish Clark, and I'm my co-host, Ken Murray. And Ken is baited. He's ready to jump through the microphone.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Silas Lyons has joined us in the studio from the Record Searchlight.
It's good to be here as an observer.
No.
We're
running right, jumping right to you now, Silas.
I was hoping I'd just be watching this show all morning.
We're having fun. I want to remind people that you can get in on the fun by calling 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com.
One of the things that people do in either the editorial pages or on talk radio is say things that make people call in.
Or write letters.
And if you're putting out pablum in your newspaper, you're not going to have any letters to the editor, and your Sunday paper will look like your Monday paper, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can write the, well, the sky is blue, but you know, some people say it's purple. And, you know, that's all right, too. I mean, you can write those all day long, but you'll hear crickets and you quickly become irrelevant. It's like any kind of conversation. People want to talk about the issues of the day, and they want to talk about the things that get them fired up.
Get your blood going. Especially if you have to get up and do this between 7 and 9 every morning for 5 days. We need to get things stirring here to keep me interested and awake.
What is Dilbert? I think that's the most ununderstandable comic strip in the entire newspaper.
Dilbert. Really?
Dilbert.
I think you got to work in a cubicle for a while in order to really get Dilbert. I think you know you gotta have that. He taps into that kind of go to work, sit at your desk, have a bad boss. Have a bad day. Of course, he always has a bad day. Have a bad date. But I don't know. I mean, Dilbert's just, it's office humor, right? It's like, why does anybody watch The Office?
It isn't funny.
Yeah.
All right. No. Ken Murray has declared it not funny. We'll
Dilbert is not funny.
Take it to the bank. All right. You know what the thing is about the comics is that everybody will tell you there are only two funny comics and they're always different ones.
Yeah.
But everybody, and that's the brilliance, I suppose, of actually making it, as the author of a comic strip, which has got to be one of the hardest things to do in America, is that you've just got to have an audience and they got to think, my son, what got obsessed with the strip Tundra, which we don't carry, and we had to buy it. It's this guy up in Alaska, and all of his jokes are about like hunting moose and like getting mauled by bears. And Emerson, he's eight. He thinks that's hilarious, especially the bear maulings. And so, you know, it's just whatever it is, it taps into a very, somebody's like in that frame of mind, it's funny to them. So
let's talk about something serious.
All right, let's talk about something serious.
I read an article in your very own newspaper that said you're being jettisoned by Scripps, who's going into the TV business, and the newspapers that they own are going to be a different business. And I guess they don't own them anymore.
Well, as of right now, actually, they do still own them. And here's the backstory. I'll try to keep this as short as possible. But the backstory is this, the Reading Record was founded by John Paul Scripps personally in 1938. While the dam was being constructed, and it very quickly kind of merged and took over the other papers in town, became the paper of record in the area. And so all of that time, for 75 years up to last October, we had been under the Scripps family name one way or another. We switched from JPSN newspapers to EW Scripps Company, headquartered in Cincinnati. But Scripps, this is the second split of the company since I've been with Scripps. The first one was when the networks, HGTV and the big cable networks that we owned, split off into their own company. And then it was just us and the TV stations. And now the TV stations and the newspapers are again splitting into separate companies. And in a little bit of a twist on that, they're not just splitting, but they're merging at the same time, which makes it complicated. So there's a company that owns the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and owns a number of large TV stations around the country and radio stations. And Scripps is merging their broadcast operations with those broadcast operations, and that'll still be called Scripps. Then they're merging the newspapers with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel into a new company that'll be called Journal Media Group. Get the name of my new company right.
They're separate companies.
Separate companies, publicly traded, both of them publicly held, different CEOs, different boards, be completely separate companies. So we will be a pure play newspaper company.
Okay, so
headquartered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
There's a couple of things that are curious about that to me. Number one, as part of this realignment, the newspaper company is going to be left with zero debt.
Yes.
The television and broadcast companies are going to take on all the debt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I read that in your newspaper, and I'm thinking to myself, newspapers are losers, and they have been losers, and they're going down the tubes, and they're failing at a massive rate. Aren't they just whacking off something that's bound to fail?
I need some coffee.
Well, I mean, admit it. Newspapers are going down the toilet.
I mean, most everybody
You won't get me to admit that, Ken. You can keep me on here for 2 hours. You won't get me to say the newspapers are going down the toilet because they're not.
As profit centers.
What has gone completely down the toilet is newspaper classified advertising. Newspaper classified advertising accounted for, as a dollar amount, the entire profit of the whole industry, and it went away. I mean, Craig Newmark basically single-handedly destroyed with Craigslist almost all of that
eBay.
Value for the entire American newspaper business. That is amazing. So that's changing. Our online, our digital, our audience. And of course, I'm on the audience side, so I'm not sitting over there having to worry every day about selling advertising. But on the audience side, our audience is larger than it has than it's been. I mean, we're growing. We've been growing digitally for 8 years, 9 years, actually since we started Reading.com. So our footprint is very large from an audience standpoint, and that's not dying. The demand for news and information about your local community is not going away at all.
But it's not in the form of a newspaper.
But they're less profitable. I mean, anybody will tell you, and if you were to look at investing in a newspaper company, I think one of the things about this split is that newspapers used to run, and I don't know what the number is now. It used to be that a well-run newspaper was expected to make about a 35% profit margin. And so they were pretty good businesses to be in. Grocery stores are in the low single digits, right?
Yeah, they're like 6% if you're doing great.
So well-run newspaper was a good business to be in. And that's not the case anymore. So when you put a company together like Scripps and you've got TV stations that are making big, big profits, and you've got newspapers that are making much smaller profits than they used to and probably will for the foreseeable future as a percentage of their overall revenues, you got a bad mix there. And it just didn't work well, and the stock obviously was going to reflect it. Next year, look, it's presidential year next year. All the money in politics, where do you think it's going? TV stations. And so they want to, they want those TV stations
to stand on their own. That brings me right back to where I was.
The newspapers are a long-term stable business that is in a lot of transition, but I don't think you set up a new company, give it $10 million of capital, zero debt and zero pension obligation just because you're trying to kick it to the curb.
Okay, and on that note, we're going to come back and talk about why some of us just like that piece of paper in our hand in the morning right after the break.
Let's talk about that.
Investors and those seeking refinance. Ready for an exceptional lending experience? Land Home Financial Services is here to help. Our direct lending paperless underwriting ensures timely closings, providing conventional, FHA, VA, USDA, reverse mortgage, and much more. You deserve the best from a local lender. Call toll free now, 877-933-3330. With offices in Redding, Chico, and Mount Shasta, we welcome the opportunity.
Equal Housing Opportunity Lender. Not a commitment to lend. NMLS number 764637. California DBO 607-3458. California DBO 916324 6624. California BRE number 009-88341.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
We at Farmers Insurance are hiring. It is rewarding taking care of your customers and being involved in the Redding community. Now is the time to take charge of your destiny. If you or any friends, family, or co-workers are interested, please have them contact us at the Redding Farmers District office at 243-1100. Again, 243-1100.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Hi, Linda Bott here. Join me every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460 AM for On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not. We talk about fun, film, fashion, food. Brought to you by Dandelion, Crackmaster, Mount Shasta Mall. On the Spot, Thursday, 6 p.m. right here, KCNR 1460 AM.
Better health means better business. Adamson's Peak Performance now offers businesses a variety of services aimed at making your employees healthier, fitter, and more productive. Our corporate wellness services include corporate membership rates, group personal training, discount personal training rates, fitness lectures and motivational talks, as well as customized corporate wellness plans. To schedule a corporate wellness consultation with Eric or to learn more, call us at 221-8006 or visit adamsonspeakperformance.com.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, DeKine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley, that's Zoe's Travel Shop, located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
833, this portion of the program brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold, 2463 Athens Avenue in Reading. Give them a call at 244-9478. It's a place to get a great haircut. Haircut, yes, I can say the word. Cypress Square Barbershop.
And welcome back. This is Trish Clark. I'm joined with Ken Murray, my co-host this week, while Carl and Linda are out sailing the high seas. Remind you that if you'd like to get in on the conversation, you can jump in at 605-4567 or go into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. And our guest this morning is Silas Lyon from the Record Searchlight. And we were talking about newspapers in general, and I said I love to get up in the morning, and I want my newspaper. I like to have the copy in my hand, get my cup of coffee, go out on the back porch and find out what's going on in my community. So Monday's paper is a big disappointment. I can hardly drink a half a cup of coffee before I'm done.
What, both pages?
So how are we going to keep that form? Because I see what you're saying. I mean, it's going online. I've got the apps on my iPhone, on my iPad. When I'm traveling, I can keep up with the local news in a heartbeat, and that's how people are going. Nobody wants a newspaper, a book, and that's sad to me because I like the printed word.
I like the printed word too, and I certainly intended, when I went into this business, I intended to be in the printed word business my entire life. And we got our first mimeograph machine when I was about 10 years old, and I remember learning to run that. And then we got an offset printing press and an outbuilding at our place. So
I worked in a newspaper when I was very young where you actually set
Oh, you actually set the type. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was dangerous business, a hot lead flying around and all of that. But it was
marvelous.
Yes. Yes. And it has, you know, I mean, there is, and I'm a digital, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm a digital guy. I mean, I carry probably three different Apple devices on me at any time. It's kind of disgusting. But as far as news goes, as far as the newspaper business goes, I grew up in that frame of mind as well. And it's still a very good business for us.
Is it going to stay around? How long is it going to be around?
I think the printing of newspapers is going to be around for as long as the individual, you know, community that paper is in has enough people who still want their newspaper in print, which is a really evasive way of answering the question, I realize. But I'll give you something real. New Orleans does not have a daily newspaper anymore. The city of New Orleans does not have a daily printed newspaper anymore. They have, I think they're down to 3 days a week, something like that.
Have you been in New Orleans lately?
I was there a couple of years ago.
Does that surprise you?
You know, I was there more as a tourist. I didn't get to know New Orleans. But they're not the only ones. There are already places where the days of the week are being cut back. And I think newspapers in general as a business have looked at that. In our case, you know, we are looking at Monday. I've heard, and Mondays have been the size they are now for several years, and probably 4 years since Monday became the size that it is. Mondays are not a day that we make any. I mean, we lose money every single Monday of the week.
How can you possibly? You're only got 2 pages.
Because it is the day that has never been the day that advertisers wanted to be in the newspaper. Now, in the old days when there was a lot of classifieds, a lot of other stuff, you know, you might not lose money, you might just break even on those days. But what we've figured is you know, there is a habit there. You're talking about that habit. Is that habit of going out, reading the paper, having it with your coffee, and so that's really important to keep that up, and that's what we've been doing, and that's what we're going to continue to do, and I think newspapers in general are going to continue to do for as long as possible. It's going to really depend though on the shifting, because younger people like my kid is never going to, even though he's my kid and he has a newspaper on the table every morning, he's still never going to subscribe to a printed newspaper.
All right. So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? It seems to me, if I go back in history, okay, advertising didn't create newspapers. News created newspapers, and then advertisers wanted to be in the newspaper because everybody was reading the news.
Right.
And what you just said was that you don't have enough advertisers on Monday to support an amount of news. And that seems to me that's just reversed the whole dynamic of how newspapers came to be.
Oh, I don't think it's reversed at all. I mean, the dynamic of how newspapers came to be started in the 19th century with newspapers basically owned by patrons who had a point of view and wanted to express it as much as possible, and so they would own the local newspaper. You know, the judge would own the local newspaper or something.
But I'm not arguing with you, but what I'm trying to figure out is, you know, the size of the newspaper is driven by advertisers now.
Always.
I think what you said.
Always. Well, yeah.
I'm not sure that's true. In the beginning, they weren't driven by the size.
If you're running a good old fashioned American business,
they were rich American judges who wanted their opinions put out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Advertising didn't judge it. Egos put out newspapers to begin with. Now,
stage two, Pulitzer, Hearst. That whole era, I mean, that is, so the newspapers transformed into advertising-driven businesses. And that was what allowed newspapers to become independent. That's what allowed us to come up with the idea of fairness and objectivity was that innovation of having a whole bunch of advertisers so you could spread your support across a wide array of businesses, and no one business or group of businesses could come and try to make you do anything. And that was the revolution of the Hearst and Pulitzers and those guys.
Okay, so
that's what really brought us to where we are today.
Okay, so let's go back to newspapers were a great investment. You had a 35% profit margin. Where's the profit now? Where does it come from? What margin is it? I'm trying to decide whether I want to buy stock in your new company.
All right. Well, if you're going to think about buying stock, I've got to read you the 20-minute disclaimer small print about not having any future-looking statements. But the profits now are still a profitable business if well run. We're still a profitable newspaper. I can't give you the number, but we're still a profitable newspaper. Not every newspaper is. You've got to make good business decisions to be profitable.
Okay, but when I was active in politics and on the board, I remember that we had reporters. We had reporters that covered everything the Board of Supervisors did. Wherever I was at in the community, there was always a reporter there.
Yeah.
Now, either no one from the Board of Supervisors of the county is anywhere anymore, which probably is partially true, or there are no reporters from the Record Searchlight, because I never read anything about what's happening at the county level. And they tell me that there generally isn't a reporter there unless there's a big deal on the issue.
Are journalists a dying breed?
That's not.
You're
being misinformed about there not being journalists at the county supervisor.
They're just not doing anything that's worth reporting.
No, they're reporting it. I don't know what you're reading.
Okay, well let's
how many report how many reporters in uh-huh. comparison, let's say as compared to 10 years ago,
right.
How many reporters work for the Record Searchlight?
We're about from our peak staffing, we are down more than half.
Okay.
All right. And let's just talk about reporters for a moment.
Yeah.
There are different grades of reporters in my personal observation. There are those who came out of journalism school and they've learned all the rules. They learned how to write AP style and your AP style book or whatever it is. Okay, but they don't know anything about the subject. And then there are other reporters, and I think it's a function of time, okay, who know a great deal about the subject and can report more intelligently rather than in sound bites a la TV. How long does it take a reporter to become a good reporter?
And then why do you always move them to a different beat as soon as they figure out what we're doing?
I mean, if there's a complaint from local elected officials, I mean, who was the guy we had? Scott? For
Mobley.
Years. Scott Mobley, a fabulous reporter. He understood what was going on at City Hall, and he chose to report on things that mattered to people in the community rather than just blather. Then he goes away, and Dr. Scott was just a genius, in my opinion, as a reporter. But
that's very nice.
Now you get people who don't know what's going on, and they have to start from scratch. They have no contacts. They don't know anything. How long does it take them to get up to where they know what they're doing?
And I want to just throw in one other comment on that, because what happens is you, as the elected official or the person that's at this meeting, and know the content and what the important thing was, and then you read the article in the paper, and the reporter has picked up on some line at the very beginning of the meeting that had absolutely nothing to do with the whole import of the meeting, and that's what the article's about. You sit there and go, what meeting was he at?
Here's my let me tell you my experience as a reporter. And I covered City Hall for a while, and I was the new guy who didn't know all the ins and outs of City Hall, mm-hmm. and had to get my head wrapped around that beat. And I will tell you, there are a couple of things that I was very careful of. One was not to care too much what the elected officials thought about the way I was reporting. Mm-hmm. Because you can make a choice. Your sources are actually the people you talk to more than your readers, your colleagues, or your boss, right? I mean, you can, if you're a good reporter, you could spend more of your time with your sources than you do with any of those folks. And if you fall into the trap of caring more about what your sources think than what anybody else thinks, that's not a good way to become a good reporter. And so I was very conscious of that. I also knew that I didn't know a lot of things, but I also knew that there's an awful lot of interesting things hidden in the consent agenda. And so just making an assumption always that, you know, the main thrust of the meeting was the thing that I needed to cover, I wasn't always willing to go along with that. And I think that happens some. Now, does that mean that every reporter is created equal and that everyone comes in with the same exact set of skills and knows everything from the very start? No, of course not. There's differences. And we've tried over the years very hard to try to make sure that people are on the beats that, that they really are going to excel at. We're also really the only, organization covering this community that still invests in beat coverage to that extent. And I think that's worth noting. We still have a county beat reporter. We still have a Reading City Hall reporter. We still have somebody whose primary responsibility is education. We still have somebody whose primary responsibility is healthcare, and on down the line. And so that's really been retained. I think that's important to retain in the community.
Okay, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
It is 8:45, and this portion of the program brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, your place for great coffee and more. Espresso Joe's serving caramel macchiato and every other coffee you can imagine. Walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in California, proudly serving the finest in your tobacco needs. Tobacco and Brew, where veterans always get discounts. It is 8:46. More after this.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Reading Countertops is the source for your countertop and bathroom surfacing needs. They specialize in high-pressure laminate, solid surface, quartz, slab granite, and cultured marble countertops. They are also the only North State company that makes custom cultured marble showers. Contact Redding Countertops, the company that's been topping the North State since 1976, at 222-2442, 222-2442, or visit them online, reddingcountertops.com.
As we girls get older, our eyesight weakens. This requires larger diamonds.
Shop the Goldmark annual estate sale going on now with thousands of vintage, unique, and one-of-a-kind jewelry items. Special six-month deferred interest financing is available. Like us on Facebook for daily specials and be sure to sign up in the store for your chance to win a free one-ounce gold bar. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30. The Goldmark annual estate sale. Town and Country Center, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Rumor has it, Lulu established a roadhouse to provide good food and drinks in a relaxing atmosphere at affordable prices. Today, Lulu's continues the tradition, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with specials posted daily. Lulu's Catering serves special events at your site or in their banquet room with customized menus to fit your budget. And they have the best Bloody Mary in town. Find Lulu's Eating and Drinking Establishment on Pine Street, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And we're back. It is 11 minutes before 9 o'clock on KCNR, 1460. This portion of the program brought to you by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur in Reading. Our firearms dealer of choice when it comes to selecting that new long gun or pistol, having gunsmith work done, or buying ammo. John Bastiani priding himself on customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock and at fair prices. Bastiani Arms, 222-8222.
Okay, and welcome back. Our guest this morning with Trish Clark and Ken Murray is Silas Lyon from the Record Searchlight, and I invite you, got a burning question you've always wanted to ask somebody from the Record Searchlight, you can do so at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com and write your question down, and Bob will deliver that to us. We'd love to hear from you.
Why does a paper cost so much? It used to be a lot cheaper.
It used to be a lot cheaper. Well, you know, a lot of things in life used to be a lot cheaper.
We're back to the bottom line. They're going broke. They need money.
Let's talk about inflation.
Let's talk about headlines.
First of all, we're not going broke, but we are running a business. So we all believe in capitalism here, right? Let's at least establish a bottom line. I mean, okay, we're running a private business.
The bottom line is the paper itself used to be significantly larger than it is now. I'm getting less paper and less ink than I used to get.
Right.
Number one. Number two.
Used to get a lot more classified ads.
And used to get a lot more news, too, because there was twice as many reporters as there are now.
Yeah.
I'm going to step in it here, but I will tell you this: the amount that reporters are doing now, and the amount of time that reporters have to sit and think about stuff, has changed a lot.
However,
they don't sit around cogitating.
On that note, we're going to jump into the phone lines and go to Red on line one. Good morning, Red.
Good morning, everybody. I just kind of wanted to make a quick comment about newspapers being losers. And we ourselves have started a small startup newspaper here, and we've actually kind of found it to be exactly the opposite. Depending on the kind of content that's being reported, I think drives a lot of it, because we're actually at the point in 6 months that we cannot produce enough papers for the demand that we have and are actually looking at upgrading that. So I kind of disagree with newspapers are losers. You just kind of have to tailor it to your crowd and get out there what they want.
Well, Red, and certainly, see, there's that entrepreneurial spirit that we're talking about, and we all believe in capitalism, and thank you for calling in and pointing that out.
Thanks, Red.
Church bulletins on Sunday, everybody takes one, but they don't make any money. I don't know what, you know, I'm still not buying your new stock, okay, because of all the disclaimers.
Just to be clear, I'm not selling the new stock because
Let's go to headlines and how do headlines happen?
Yeah, let's talk about headlines because I read way too many headlines that don't have hardly anything to do with the story.
And unfortunately, a lot of people only read the headline, and they take that as the
people scan.
They read that headline that says, as an example, auction block, and they don't go down and read that this is a highly authentic company that advertises internationally.
Right.
They think bankruptcy.
Right. Here's the thing about headlines. Number one, reporters don't write them. So I like to say that up
front. And they want you to say
reporters, God, they get beat up so much for other people's work. They don't write the headlines, in the paper, in print. They do write some of the headlines that you'll see on Reading.com. They're supposed to be writing, webheads for their stories, and they do. So if you're reading in print, you're not seeing what the reporter wrote. You're seeing what somebody, wrote who read the story. Hopefully read the story carefully, and who is trying to fit a particular size of type into a particular space. It goes back to
depressing.
Actually, you talked about the lead type.
That's depressing.
You know, the old lead type that where you had, you know, you had
cut that word
a limited
that explains
amount of,
everything because it won't
yes,
fit.
Because it doesn't fit. Well, it's like, you know, the Billy Joel song. It took me years to write it. They were the best years of my life. But if you want to have a hit, you got to make it quick. So they cut it down to 305. It's kind of like that. It's like you got to make it fit the space. And that's often what happens with headlines. They get compressed to the point of not making sense. My pet peeves, I hate when headline writers try to get cute and they turn a serious story into some kind of a little pun or something like that. I'll just beat up on us for a second. We had a headline from one of the fires that used a it was this most recent one where the last name of the guy who's accused of starting it is Smoke. And we had some kind of a pun with this guy's name. It was just horrible. It was terrible. And you can bet that I freaked out the next morning and kind of pulled the old fashioned editor thing on people and started yelling because that's not how it's supposed to, how it's supposed to work. So I'm a critic of headlines as well. And we try our best to get them right in the space that we have and the size.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
I'm holding in my hand this morning's paper. These are the headlines.
There's it.
LaMalfa chats with residents. That doesn't tell me anything. Farmers.
Got to read the story.
Well, it doesn't make me even want to read the story.
Yeah, I know. It's bland.
Farmers scrutinized on water.
But go with the one from yesterday.
Farmers are being scrutinized on water, though.
Billions of gallons of water lost yearly. And Ken and I are arguing about if there were billions of gallons of water under Santa Clara Valley, you'd be sloshing. That's a lot of water.
I think that's a misprint.
Maybe it's millions.
I think it's millions, not billions. You know how many?
Well, you had to go back to the report that was based on.
I think it's not. It can't possibly be true. 71 billion gallons of water in the Santa Clara Valley is enough to fill Shasta Lake, which is 4 million acre feet, hundreds of times, if not thousands of times.
Well, acre feet and gallons, is that?
You're out of my well, you're out of my depth. No pun intended.
It's kind of like smoke.
You're out of my depth, Ken.
Okay,
I don't know the conversion.
Well, one other thing.
Yeah.
Being a newspaper delivery person, I see that you advertise for new route carriers from time to time. Has become a more dangerous job. Apparently, I mean, they have been attacked, and
it's pretty rare.
The time of day that they're delivering.
It's a contract. You know, we contract with those folks, and I don't know. I'd have to see the evidence. It's more dangerous.
Well, didn't you? You had one attacked up in Shingletown.
There have been. Yeah, I mean, it's that's not to minimize anything that's happened, but to say in general that it's become more dangerous.
I used poor wording, excuse me, but it seems to be, because I never heard of a newspaper carrier getting attacked for anything, you know, especially when I was a kid delivering newspapers.
Delivering papers. Right. And that's not true, because I did hear of one. Actually, there was a guy that, years ago, somebody from the Anderson Valley Post that the kid was collecting and got the heck beat out of him.
Is that a tough job? Do you roll up the newspapers or you just give them flat and they have to go buy their own rubber bands?
No, they roll the papers. You'll see folks start getting there around 1 a.m. as soon as the press run is over, and they'll start picking up their papers as they come off the dock. They'll sit out there and, you know, people socialize. They all know each other, especially the regulars. They'll sit out there, socialize, and they roll the papers.
One last question before we leave. Mm-hmm. What one thing in your industry are you looking forward with great excitement in the next 6 months?
In the next 6 months?
Or year.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to really the continued growth of our digital apps, Reading.com, the audience that we have there, and the engagement that we have with that, the back and forth that we have with that audience, which is unlike anything we've ever had before. And we're able to cover so many more things live now and have that real interaction with people. And to your point, Trish, I think we're able to give people more insight into their government in real time. They don't necessarily have to wait for a reporter to decide what to put in and leave out afterwards. If you follow our journalists right now when they're covering these things live, whether it's County Board of Supervisors meeting or the Chief's Forum on Public Safety, you're getting real-time stream of what's going on there in a way that you never would have gotten before. And I think that's great for journalism. I think that's good for the community.
Okay. Well, thank you, Silas, for joining us this morning. We remind you that this is the Trish Clark and Ken Murray Week on KCNR Radio. Tomorrow we're being joined with Brian Crane from the City of Reading Public Works and Sheriff Tom Pasenko. And we thank you for joining us this morning.
We're going to make you really happy that the owner comes back.
And this portion of the program brought to you by Reading Crown Motors. Looking for a new or previously owned car, truck, or SUV? Look no further than Reading Crown Motors, your Ford, Dodge Ram, Lincoln, Nissan, and Honda dealership. Why do you go any further than 555 Cypress Avenue to make their best deal in the North State? Crown Motors, 223-2177.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. They come and go, the Gaza ceasefires between Israel and Hamas. Another temporary truce has been broken today. Israel's military conducting a series of airstrikes across the Gaza Strip, responding, it says, to renewed rocket fire.
Three rockets fired from Gaza that landed near the city of Beersheba in open ground. Israel is now responding. I suppose the question is, what happens next? Is this an end of the ceasefire or something that will come to be seen as an isolated breach of it?
The BBC's Kevin Connor in Jerusalem. The Kremlin says Russian President Putin will meet with his Ukrainian counterpart in a week in Belarus. Ukrainian President Poroshenko says stabilizing the situation in eastern Ukraine will be a key topic of discussion. Also at SRNnews.com, the situation in Ferguson, Missouri is not getting better. Quite the contrary, says the Reverend Zachariah Davis.
I've been out here several times during the week. I've not seen it this bad.